In 3D computer animation, rocks fly through a dark mist. Below lies a pockmarked rock terrain with glowing lava beneath the surface. An armored human figure walks on the ground with metal boots. A light beam emanates from its helmet. Another armored figure points a rifle.
That never sounded like an owl, Fred.
Kelly.
She removes her helmet.
We've got 2 hours to get back to base before Oni starts billing overtime. Where's the chief? Where's Linda?
An armored vehicle drives up. A female soldier and a helmeted one alight and approach.
Quick shore leave, chief. We're lucky command let us come at all.
This is it?
Most of it's gone. But yeah, it's the place.
Then let's do this.
Words appear. 343 Industries presents, in association with the Sequence Group, Jen Taylor, Steve Downs, Michelle Lukes, Brittany Uomaliale, Travis Willingham. Music by Tom Salta. Art director Andrew West. Executive producers Daniel Sui, Ian Kirby, Kiki Wolfkill, Frank O'Connor. Produced by Tina Summerford. Corinne Robinson. Based on the novel Halo, The Fall of Reach by Eric Nyland. Adapted by Heath Corson. Directed by Ian Kirby. In block lettering, Halo, The Fall of Reach. Long rays of light beam through dark space. A transporter with four stubby wings flies swiftly through the path of light.
Private journal entry. Encrypt Halsey 424-3. Delete, if tampered. A long time ago, I committed myself to a path, a direction. There were many branches in that path, but ultimately they all flowered, I think. John was the first seed. I couldn't personally screen every candidate. The outer colonies were simply too scattered, too distant. But I had to set an example for the other extraction teams. So the first candidate, I dealt with personally.
On the screen, Eridanus 2.
But the outer colonies were still very dangerous places in those days, albeit for radically different reasons. And so the Office of Naval Intelligence assigned me a chaperone. Perhaps for my safety. Perhaps for theirs.
Wake mode complete. Cryogenic tubes line the walls of a chamber.
Time to wake up, Lieutenant Keyes.
A tube opens.
We are preparing to exit slip space near the Eridanus system.
A man occupies it.
Dr. Halsey?
Already awake and on the bridge, sir.
Of course she is.
On the bridge, the beams of light streak past large windows. In the pilot's seat at a computer, a brown-haired woman taps on the screen. Behind her, Lieutenant Keyes floats through a round hatch.
Dr. Halsey.
Are these shuttles all so damned claustrophobic?
He sits beside her.
There is barely room for one person in here, let alone two.
Doctor.
Torin.
Awaiting your orders, Dr. Halsey.
Start a pre-burn warm-up cycle for the fusion engines.
Understood, Doctor. Exiting slip space in 6 seconds.
Good, and some music. Rachmaninoff's Concerto No. 3, I think.
The beams disappear. The transport flies above a planet with landmasses, oceans, and clouds.
Now, Lieutenant, you needed my attention?
I was going to say I should act as pilot.
If I wished to be chauffeured, you would already be in this chair, Lieutenant. If you wish to make yourself useful, take the comms, and make sure our arrival is discreet.
What are we doing here? This area is dangerous. It's been an insurrectionist stronghold for years.
Meaning
the insurrection isn't some ragtag group of colonial rowdies. Torin, list rebel acts of violence in this sector last 5 days.
72 hours ago, insurrectionists destroy emergency food caravan. 18 hours ago, rebellion raids merchant vessel, murders entire...
I am painfully aware of the rebellion, Lieutenant. Something needs to be done. Oni agrees with me. That is why we are here.
Oni. But if the Office of Naval Intelligence... This is a recon mission?
How terribly perceptive of you.
But what could you possibly need to recon out here?
The planet looms closer. Words appear. Elysium City, Eridanus 2, August 17, 2517. The city lies at the foot of tall, snow-tipped mountains. On a sidewalk, in slacks and a jacket, Lieutenant Keyes walks beside Dr. Halsey, who wears a dress and large hat.
I'm dressed like a fool.
You're dressed like a father trying to get his daughter into a decent school.
I don't have a daughter.
And I don't have a pony. Pay attention. We are here to observe a boy. The first of many evaluations in the weeks to come.
I'm supposed to be protecting shipping lanes, not babysitting.
This child could be more useful to the UNSC than a fleet of destroyers, 1,000 lieutenants, or even me. In the end, one child could be the difference between peace and an unwinnable war. Ah, there's our young man.
A brown-haired boy stands on a platform.
Journal entry. Same encryption scheme.
Who's next?
John was the first. And he was the best.
Fists raised. John stands above other boys.
Come on! You can't stop us all!
Even as a child, I could see how special he was. Sense his unformed potential.
John kicks one of the boys who falls.
I simply needed to carve away everything else to get to it.
He tosses another boy.
To shape it. Form him into everything I knew he would eventually become.
He headbutts a third who also falls. John's image is on a small screen projected from a handheld device.
He can't be more than...
6. John, like all of our candidates, is 6 years old. And like the others, he has all the genetic markers. There's something else that makes him of interest.
Of interest to whom, precisely?
Here, record our interaction. I'll talk to him. Find out if his character is as exceptional as his DNA.
A defeated boy lies on the ground. John steps from the platform.
Hello. What's your name?
It's John.
And what game were you playing, John?
He extends his hand.
War.
King of the Hill. Mom says I'm too rough with the other kids.
You like games? So do I. I have another game, if you're interested. This is a coin. Win the game, and you keep the coin. You see the two sides?
Yes. A man and a bird.
Which side will land up?
She flips it high in the air. He watches it rotate. She catches it and slaps it on the back of her other hand.
Bird.
Very good. Again.
Man.
Again.
Man. Bird. Bird.
5 out of 5, John. That's unusual.
You said I could keep it if I won.
Yes. You can keep it, John.
He runs off.
I cursed myself for using his name. I couldn't afford the luxury of fondness. No telling if Subject 117 would even survive what lay ahead.
Keys approaches.
Tell me you recorded that.
Words appear. Reach Military Complex. Epsilon Eridani System. September 10, 2517.
It all fell into place so quickly after John. It wasn't long before I had my final candidates.
On a space station, she surveys screens of children's faces. A hologram of a woman in a Greek toga appears beside her. Halsey points to the screens.
These are the 75 Deja.
Confidential journal entry. Red encryption using my private key.
A girl chases a soccer ball. A boot stops it. She looks up.
As I said before, I don't regret any of this.
She is tossed into a van.
I thought it all the way through. I am certain it will be worthwhile. Right at that moment, across several star systems, children were being acquired and shipped like freight.
Words appear.
To the planet Reach.
Candidate 087 Kelly acquired.
We were replacing the children with flash clones. Imperfect simulacra, but nigh impossible to detect.
Candidate 117 John acquired.
If I could have used the clones, of course I would have. But the damn things broke down faster than we could grow them. We needed real children. Whole children.
Candidate 058 Linda acquired.
It was a regrettable, but necessary, deception.
Candidate 104 Frederick acquired.
I needed those subjects. Orion 2 would not have succeeded built on a foundation of compromise.
The face of Candidate 034 Samuel is a hologram above a grave. On a transport, the real Samuel stares out a window.
Oni would have its soldiers. And I would have my solution.
On the station.
May God have mercy on us all.
The screens dissolve.
Doctor, they are here. They are ready.
Send them in. And Deja, on second thought, don't save this file.
The candidates walk in. Their black tank tops have numbers on the front.
What happened? How did I
Take a seat. All of you.
John is the last to sit.
Per Naval Code 45812, you are hereby conscripted into UNSC Special Project codenamed Orion 2, also known as Spartan 2. Your parents are gone. The planet Reach is your new home. Your fellow trainees are your new family. Each of you has been hand-selected and called to serve. Your bodies are already faster and stronger than other children. And we are going to make them even better.
A dark-haired soldier walks up.
Chief Petty Officer Mendez, escort the children to the mess hall. Feed them. Get them to bed.
Trainees, follow!
The candidates stand. Cut to black. In a barracks, John sleeps.
John.
His mother's face is before him.
Johnny, you need to wake up.
Mom?
Wake up!
Wake up, trainee!
A man holds a baton that sparks.
I said up! You know which way up is?
John stands.
Last one up gets it, Jorge!
My name's pronounced George.
He hits Jorge.
Don't you backtalk me, Jorge!
What's happening?
I don't know! Just go! Go! Come on, everyone's headed this way. I'm Sam, by the way.
I'm Kelly.
It'll be okay, Kelly.
Words appear. Naval Officers Academy. Vieri Territory. Reach. September 24, 2517. The boys do jumping jacks.
Trainees! I am Chief Mendez. I am your commanding officer. Every day, dawn till dusk, you will do exactly what I say. When I say, how I say. Am I clear, trainees?
Sir, yes, sir!
Naturally, they didn't all make it. We expected dropouts. There were accidents, incidents, bad luck. Better that we separated the chaff from the wheat immediately.
A boy lies face down in the mud. Inside, the trainees stand around a large holographic display.
Come in. Class is about to begin.
We trained their minds as well as their bodies. War strategy, theoretical tactics, Sun Tzu. Nothing in the sprawling history of conflict was overlooked. We taught them about Thermopylae, about the unbeatable Spartans.
Xerxes wanted to steal Greece from the Spartans. His forces numbered in the thousands.
Why didn't Xerxes just sail around them?
Xerxes wanted to send a message, John. He failed, and just 300 Spartans saved Greece.
Yes!
That is all for today. But tomorrow, I will tell you about wolves.
Cut to black. In a large warehouse, Mendez stands before the trainees.
Today's mission is ring the bell. When every member of your team has rung the bell, cross this line.
John raises his hand.
Question, trainee.
What do we win, sir?
You win dinner, 117. Last team to finish goes without dinner.
Oh, no!
Make ready! Go!
They run toward huge crates. John clambers up on one.
I knew John was a natural leader, even if he didn't.
John, little help?
A boy reaches for a teammate. John shakes his hand and moves on. He crawls through obstacles and runs and leaps on wobbling discs. He sprints to the bottom of the tall pole and swiftly shimmies up. The others stand below and watch. He hits the bell.
First!
The others climb up behind him.
A leader must inspire passion. And 117 certainly did that.
Hey, thanks for nothing.
A boy hits John, who falls.
Good work, trainees. Everybody eats. Except 117 and his team.
But I was first.
You were first, but your team came in last. And you don't win unless your team wins.
Mendez steps over John, who glowers. A boy spits on John. He wipes his cheek. In the mess hall, the trainees eat. John's team sits at an empty table. He approaches. Kelly gets up and faces him.
Get out of here.
Kelly.
No. Kelly's right, Sam. He could have helped us today. Instead, he left us in the dirt.
I'm sorry, guys. I stole them a few nights ago. They're stale, but better than nothing.
He puts some crackers on the table.
It's not Turkey.
I know. It won't happen again. Promise.
And that was it. Logic, consequences, spark of leadership. All things I saw in him from the start.
Words appear. 2 years later, Wilderness Training Preserve, Vieri Territory, Reach. July 12, 2519. A dropship maneuvers between ragged mountains. Inside the vessel.
You are each being handed a portion of a map of the area below. The mission is simple. You will be individually deployed and use your piece of the puzzle to navigate to the extraction point. Last trainee to make it to extraction will be left behind. And it is a very long walk back. 117, you're first.
Yes, sir.
John stands and salutes. He turns to Sam.
Sam, the river. I got it. Pass the word, quietly.
117, front and center.
In swirling snow, the dropship hovers close to the ground. A ramp lowers.
Good luck, 117.
John leaps from the ship, slowly descends and lands on his feet. He looks around. He walks by the river. The jagged mountains rise in the distance. John stops at a bush with berries. He puts some in his pocket and continues on.
You sound nothing like an owl, Sam.
Ah, I've been practicing.
It sounded exactly like an owl. I was just drawing you out of cover.
Sam and John walk across a clearing toward three others.
Look what I found.
Blueberries? Nice!
They take some and eat.
I hope these are blueberries.
Better than the food in the mess.
Your lips are blue.
So are yours.
In the end, the wilderness mission wasn't a test of strength or survival, but a friendship, camaraderie, loyalty.
What are you doing?
I'm putting our mark on this place, so we can remember it. Now and forever.
He carves a wolf in a tree.
We should meet up with the others.
Then what? Someone is still gonna get left behind.
Then I find a way to get everyone home.
They sit on the ground with map pieces assembled in front of them.
One of those map fragments was bogus, but I'm sure this is the extraction point.
Almost a day's hike from here.
Then we better get moving.
The 75 trainees walk across the snow. In the woods, John stops and raises his arm.
Hold. You guys with me, fall out, and keep quiet. I heard something.
Men stand by the dropship.
And what I find fascinating is that even though you think you've prepared for every eventuality...
They're armed, but they aren't in uniform. And they don't look like soldiers. Insurrectionists, maybe?
Every contingency.
So what now?
Every permutation.
Wolves. When Deja taught us about the wolves, how they hunt.
What does that... The wolves.
Children still manage to surprise you.
A hologram of a wolf.
Wolves' children are fierce hunters, but while any wolf can hunt and kill a rabbit...
The wolf grabs a rabbit.
One wolf against larger prey...
A stag.
...can face a grisly end.
The stag gores the wolf. Kelly stands by a tree.
What the?
I need help! My friend is hurt!
She runs off.
Go bring that girl back.
Yes, sir.
But when wolves hunt in a pack...
The man comes upon Sam.
Where's the girl?
I think I broke my leg.
Oh, I got your broken leg right here, kid.
They take down larger prey with ease.
The pack kills the stag. The man falls. Blood seeps from a head wound. John jumps from a tree. A second man approaches.
What the hell, Vance? One little girl too much for you to handle?
The man looks up and around the clearing. He is hit in the head with a rock. He falls. All of the trainees throw rocks at the two men. John and his team stand over the motionless bodies. Words appear. Naval Officers Academy, the Eri Territory. Breach, July 12, 2519. Inside, John stands at attention before Mendez and Dr. Halsey.
Ah, Doctor. Trainee 117 was just explaining why he attacked and injured UNSC soldiers, and why he stole the property they were left to guard.
Ma'am, the craft was UNSC, but the men in the force were hostile and were not in regulation uniform.
You flew home?
Not exactly. I rigged the autopilot to return to base, ma'am.
And you brought them all home?
According to orders, last trainee to the ship was supposed to walk. Instead, we stuck together. Like the Spartans at Thermopylae.
In the real ending of the story, 117, the Spartans are betrayed and slaughtered. It is their sacrifice that actually saves and unites Greece.
But we had more choices.
The men you hit with rocks didn't.
No, sir. They did not.
So, Doctor, what do we do with this one?
Well, Mendez, I suggest a promotion to squad leader.
John smiles.
Thank you, sir.
Mendez shakes his hand.
What is the highest rank I can attain?
As a non-commissioned officer, 117, the highest rank you can attain is Master Chief Petty Officer.
Then I will.
Perhaps you will at that. But your next mission won't be so easy. And there will be casualties.
What is that mission, sir?
Your mission, John?
Older John is bloodied and bandaged.
Is to survive.
A robotic arm lowers in a fog. Cut to black. Words appear. 6 years later, the medical facility Endurance hovers in space. Sam's face appears on a screen. Samuel 034.
Samuel 034, Blue Team Mission Report. I don't remember the operation, but when we awoke, we were something new.
Sam sits up on a bed.
Unbreakable materials grafted to our bones. Gene therapy.
He looks at his hands and his scarred muscular chest. Above a large ward, Dr. Halsey looks down at the trainees lying on beds.
Muscle density increased. Enhanced skeletal and muscular growth. Of course, we had no clue what we had to live through first.
Deja stands next to the doctor.
Replay the message, Deja.
Message from Admiral Saronis Jerome, Chief Medical Officer, Research Station Hopeful.
Catherine, I wish I had better news. Further analysis has yielded zero alternatives to mitigate the risks in your proposed hypothetical experimentation. But I understand the theoretical framework, Catherine, and admire the imagination. But I hope it is, in fact, a hypothetical study. Details are in the attached files, but your proposed treatments could result in any of the following: cell necrosis, stroke, cardiovascular failure, and even Fletcher's syndrome.
A robotic arm drills into a primate head on both sides.
You propose the use of lab animals, simian proxies in your tests. I must be blunt. I cannot imagine any more than half of the subjects surviving this process.
A laser opens the skin on her arm. She writhes and hits her head against the bed. She lies still, her nose bloodied, her eyes unseeing. The screen glows red with the word alert. Dr. Halsey watches from the window.
I would hate to see the poor creatures destroyed in some Section 3 project, Dr. Halsey. Well, I've said my piece. Best of luck to you, Catherine.
Doctor, augmentation was always a vital but statistically dangerous stage.
How many?
Oni was promised soldiers, and you are the only mind that could accomplish it.
How many dead, Deja?
27 deceased. 36% of the candidates.
Children.
36% of the children.
The subjects are just one half of the equation, Doctor. Both Mjolnir and the cognitive impression modeling are critical.
You're correct.
Doctor?
This is our only option. Every day, the insurrection invents new acts of terror to pull humanity farther into the muck. Our civilization is balanced on a razor's edge, and the insurgents threaten to bring it down around our ears. If even one candidate survives and balance is restored, history will absolve me for the greater good.
John 117's face is on the screen. Words appear. UNSC Atlas, en route to Lambda Serpentis System.
Judy.
March 30, 2525.
Honor. Self-sacrifice.
Soldiers stand before Mendez.
We were 14 when we lost almost half of our comrades to augmentation failures.
Death does not diminish these qualities in a soldier. We shall remember our dead. Honors.
Attention!
They salute.
Kids I grew up with, never said goodbye to.
We commit the bodies of our fallen to space.
Cannons send the coffin canisters out into the void. They float past a glowing sphere.
I still remember their names. The deaths affected each of us differently. Fire teams came and went, but core loyalties and friendships endure, even beyond death.
People in wheelchairs pass.
Of course, it didn't sit well with John.
Where are you taking my men?
Let them go, squad leader. They can't fight anymore. They don't belong here.
What happens to them?
The Navy takes care of its own. Their minds are still sharp, and our war effort can always use soldiers for less physical duties.
John never left anyone behind. Not if he could help it.
Was there something else, son?
Sir, I'm squad leader. Members of my unit died. What should I have done to keep that from happening?
117, John, what your class went through, that any of you survived at all is a testament to your strength. Walk with me.
They move down a long corridor.
A leader must be ready to send the men under his command to their deaths. Your duty is to the mission.
I'm sorry, sir, but I fail to see how that applies to this situation.
The lesson is sacrifice. It is acceptable to spend lives when necessary, squad leader. What is not acceptable is to waste said lives.
Which was this, sir? Spent or wasted?
Get some rest, squad leader.
Mendez moves off. John looks at his own reflection in a window.
What did Mendez say?
Not much.
Let me guess. Something about duty and sucking it up.
That sounds nothing like him. Like your owl.
It sounds exactly like him. Me and Kells are going to the shooting range later. You in?
No. I'm going to hit the gym.
He pounds the speed bag.
John was still processing our losses. Emotionally and physically. For weeks after augmentation, every bone in our bodies ached.
John does bicep curls.
Our eyes throbbed and bled. We got headaches. Fell down. Clumsy in our new skins. Dr. Halsey told us our brains would have to relearn how to work with our new bodies. Learn how to use new strength and speed.
A weight pin falls toward the floor. John catches it. He stares at it.
But it wasn't easy. And it was frustrating.
Burly men with the letters ODST on their shirts enter the gym. One elbows John as he passes.
The thing about John is that he really only knew three ways to react to people.
The man lifts the barbell. The weight slips off. John looks at the pin in his hand.
If you were his superior officer, he obeyed you. If you were in his squad, he would die for you.
The men advance on John.
But if you were a threat?
Two take him by the arms.
Then God help you.
He kicks the third, who flies across the gym. He headbutts one and throws the other and twists his wrist. He kneels over the first man and punches him. Dr. Halsey watches him on a screen with the EKG readout.
Heart rate steady, pulse level, he's barely breaking a sweat.
What is he doing?
What we built him to do. He's winning.
I'm gonna stop this, now.
How is his adrenaline level, I wonder?
One ODST soldier swings a bar at John, who leans away, then grabs it. He hits the man in the chest with it and knocks him down. He raises the bar over his head.
Attention!
John stops and drops the bar.
At ease. Your workout is over for today.
Sir, those men. Was this a test?
Medics hover over the men.
You engaged and neutralized a threat, squad leader.
They started it. I was defending myself. But still, they were fellow soldiers.
People die. Sacrifice is a necessary consequence of war.
But, sir, they were wasted, not spent. Because of me.
Your priorities are to follow orders and to preserve your life and the lives of your team. Is that clear, squad leader?
Yes, sir.
Mendez walks off.
We heard what happened. Everyone on the ship did. It was an accident. That didn't make it any easier for John.
Deja floats before Dr. Halsey.
Apologies, Doctor, but I've been attempting to decode a transmission from the planet Harvest.
And?
It's fragmented and incomplete, and it stopped repeating.
Show me what you have.
On the screen, an undulating oblong object obscures the planet Harvest.
Gods. Deja, give me a feed from Harvest.
Scanning spectrum.
Anything. A comm station, a news feed, a grain elevator, damn it.
Not found. It may be interference, or a problem with the slipspace beacon relays. Harvest is on a 12-hour signal delay.
Get Mendez, but keep scanning Harvest. I'm accelerating the schedule. I want a test in a combat mission.
Ma'am, that's needlessly aggressive.
I disagree. Brass wants Spartans deployed, and so do I.
Words appear. UNSC Pioneer, en route to Eridanus System, September 12, 2525. The Spartans stand at the holographic display.
There's a mission Oni has been saving for the right team. Colonel Robert Watts earned his rank in the UNSC, but in 2512 he went turncoat, and now leads the insurrectionist forces in the Eridanus System. Watts has spent 12 years leading raids against UNSC targets, killing civilians and military alike. We have intel that Watts is planning to attack medical satellites in the outer colonies.
Recently, one of Watts' men cut a deal with Oni. We have known for some time that Watts' forces were launching from the Eridanus asteroid belt. But there are millions of rocks scattered over billions of kilometers.
Our informant did not know the exact location. However, he did know that the freighter Laden is a supply vessel. Mendez.
Laden is set to leave dock in 6 hours for routine engine recertification. And yet, she's been loaded with enough food and water to supply a small city. Spartans, you will be dropped at the Eridanus II space docks. You'll be dressed the same as members of the Laden crew. Once in the base, you will infiltrate the installation and take Watts alive, if you can.
They would have detected a UNSC ship. They wouldn't detect us.
Be prepared for anything. Finally, squad leader, you are hereby promoted to Petty Officer 3rd Class.
John salutes. Words appear. Civilian freighter Laden, Eridanus Secundus, September 14, 2525.
Everything went off without a hitch. Before long, We were safe in the microgravity well.
The five team members recline in hammocks.
I can never get shut-eye before a mission. What are you doing?
Scanning freight and shipping documents.
Read it to me. That'll put me to sleep.
10 hours out, Blue Team. We'll rotate sleep cycles. Find anything, Kelly?
Everything. Leyden doesn't have a shipboard AI, and their security is a joke.
Course setting.
We've got a loose trajectory into the belt, but no final destination.
Meaning insurgents don't even trust their own people.
Keep digging, and wake me in 4. I'll take over watch.
Cut to black. In a mist, John stands naked, his enhanced muscles and spine visible beneath his skin.
Where did everyone go?
John?
A bloody boy appears in a mist.
Where were you when we needed you?
In his hammock, John wakes.
I'm up. What have you got?
I picked up where Kelly left off, and I found something odd in the ship's manifest. Hidden in the standard rations, there's a single crate of cigars, steaks, and chocolates. Luxury items.
That crate is going to Watts.
Precisely what I was thinking.
Words appear. Rebel stronghold, Iridnus Secundus, September 14, 2525. The Leyden enters the dock.
Follow me. Stay quiet. Blend in. Kelly, get a bearing on that crate.
On the monorail, headed towards the tallest building in town.
Only the best for Colonel Watts.
Tall buildings rise above them. In an elevator.
Nav marker at 443 meters and holding.
Top floor. Helmets on. Move out.
He puts on a black helmet and pries the doors open. In the deep shaft, they jump onto the cable and climb. Armed soldiers stand around a large room.
Fresh batch, Colonel.
A silver-haired man in a beret takes a cigar and lights it. The smoke rises in front of his deeply lined face. The guards by a door are still. They fall. Two more go down. The team advances. More guards drop.
It was going well. We felt good. We got cocky. Well, I did.
John and Sam move forward. A guard rises with his gun.
Sam, look out!
John knocks Sam down and is hit. Their attacker falls.
John! John, can you hear me?
That should have been me.
Secure the area.
The biofoam will keep your guts where they belong till we get home. It's going to hurt.
That was stupid, John. Queen doesn't sacrifice everything to collect a pawn.
All the pieces go back in the same box when the game is done. You hit?
Nope. I'm lucky. Some idiot caught my bullet for me.
He helps John up.
Do not make me laugh right now.
On the roof, Watts and more guards crouch behind low walls, guns ready. A canister lands at their feet. The Spartans eliminate the guards. Watts rises. He points his gun at his head.
You won't take me alive.
John shoots it from his hand.
My men will come for you.
Empty the crate. Sam, load the cargo.
Cargo? Unhand me, boy. I don't know who or what you are, but I know 2 things, son. 1, none of you are getting out alive. And 2, I am absolutely not getting in that damned box.
Sam butts Watts with a rifle and drags him to the crate. John's lip curls slightly. Words appear. Reach Military Complex, Epsilon Eridani System, November 2, 2525.
We believe we had dealt the insurrection a mortal blow. Maybe we did. But everything was about to change.
The Spartans walk toward a brown-haired man.
Who's that?
Uniform says Keys. Maybe he's here to interrogate Watts?
Nice work, 117. John, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Have we met?
A long time ago. You wouldn't remember. You were just a kid fighting in the dust. Now you're a warrior, and just in the nick of time.
Sir?
You'll know soon enough. Dismissed.
Mendez walks up.
Amphitheater, Spartans. On the double.
They walk off.
What do you think it is? Insurrection revenge strike?
It's something else. Something big.
At ease, Spartans. I'm Vice Admiral Stanforth. This is Harvest. Population of 3 million. A peaceful and productive farming world. On February 3rd, at 1423 hours, the Harvest orbital platform made long-range radar contact with this object. After that, all contact with Harvest was lost.
The undulating oblong object.
Command assembled a battle group. What they found was all that was left of Harvest. 3 million lives lost. The colony burned to ash. Power like humanity has never seen. Then, they encountered this.
A sleek, squid-like vessel.
A starship of unknown design. It destroyed the Vostok and Arabia in under a minute, using highly advanced weapons and impenetrable shielding. The Heracles escaped into slipspace with substantial damage and brought this intel back. They will not negotiate. They will not communicate. They cannot be reasoned or bartered with.
We had just fought the insurrectionists, stopped a plot to murder millions, only to realize that this could be the very end of humankind. Period.
Humanity will fight back. We've already seen that we cannot do it with the blunt instrument of a fleet. We need the surgical precision of a scalpel. The Spartan program is that scalpel. We received a message before the attack, in UEG base English. Play the message, Beowulf.
On screen, a silhouette of a creature with horns.
Humans, your destruction is the will of the gods, and we are their instrument.
Cut to black. Kelly's face appears on a screen.
Kelly 087 of Blue Team. Mission debrief.
A ship emerges from a vortex. Words appear. UNSC Commonwealth. En route to Chi Ceti 4, November 27, 2525.
We were on the Commonwealth, en route to Chi Ceti 4. When we weren't in cryo, we were all crammed into the bunk room. There was always more prep, more planning.
Kelly throws Sam to the floor.
Ah, damn it!
You're still dropping your shoulder.
I know!
Kelly helps Sam up.
Let's go again.
John walks in.
Does Project Mjolnir mean anything to anyone?
Gotta be some kind of weapon. Brass isn't very imaginative with code names.
Spartan 117, report to the bridge.
Yes, ma'am. Sam, get everyone ready. On the double.
You heard the petty officer. Dog the distractions and into uniform, Spartans.
On the bridge, John approaches Mendez and Dr. Halsey.
As we scramble to get ready, John was dragged into a pissing contest between Dr. Halsey and the captain.
Ma'am? Captain Wallace?
There it is again.
Doctor, that puts our ghost at 80 million clicks. Even if it were a ship, and I don't concur that it is, it would take an hour to get within weapons range. Besides, it's disappeared again.
Captain, it is my recommendation that we go to battle stations.
We have plenty of time. Unless there's something you're not telling us.
This is not widely known, Captain, but the alien ships at Harvest disappeared, then reappeared much closer.
An intrasystem jump.
We believe so, Spartan.
Not possible. I can tell you that slipstream space simply cannot be navigated that accurately.
You mean we cannot navigate it with that kind of accuracy? We'll take the dropship. I will see these Spartans make it to Project Mjolnir.
Proximity alert flashes.
All hands to battle stations. This is not a drill. Reactors to 90%, come about to course 125. All hands, brace for impact.
A ship emerges from a vortex and flies past the Commonwealth.
We were being hunted down like dogs. Our only chance was whatever was down in that testing facility.
The small ship fires on the Commonwealth. Glass blows inward. Fire races down the corridor.
They call themselves the Covenant.
Missiles from the Commonwealth rain down on the enemy ship. The surface glows, revealing a honeycomb pattern but remains intact.
Energy shields. That's amazing.
Bring the ship around and arm the Mac.
The Commonwealth's bow points at the other ship.
Unlike the missiles, the Mac Round 101 is an unguided projectile, so the firing solution has to be perfectly aligned to hit.
A large rocket is launched. It strikes the other ship's belly and is absorbed by the shield. Rounds from other Covenant ships are exchanged with the Commonwealth. Several direct hits make a large hole, venting the occupants into space.
Ready another Mac round.
Mac system destroyed, Captain.
The Commonwealth carries nuclear missiles, correct?
Detonation at this range would destroy us as well.
Excuse me, sir. The alien tactics have been unnecessarily vicious. They didn't have to take that second Mac round. In my opinion, sir, they would engage anything that challenged them. They're sending a message.
Longsword Squadron Delta. Get those ships into the black, boys. And buy us some time.
Roger that, sir. On our way.
Arm the nuclear warhead. Proximity detonator at 100 meters.
Fighters speed toward the Covenant ship. The smaller ships continue to exchange fire.
Fire!
The nuclear warhead nears the large ship. The small ships scatter.
3, 2.
A bright flash fills the windows and they shield their eyes.
Us back up. Slowly.
Sensors coming back on. All longsword interceptors vaporized. Covenant ship? Intact, sir.
No.
It is moving off, though, sir. Most likely to make repairs.
I have my orders to get you and yours to Kai Seti 4 at all costs. As we execute a flyby orbit, your dropship will take you and your crew planetside. If the Covenant return, we will lure them away.
The dropships leave the Commonwealth. They soar over jagged rock formations. Words appear. Kai Seti 4, Damascus Materials Testing Facility. November 27, 2525.
Damascus Materials Testing Facility to incoming Pelican. Identify.
This is Dr. Catherine Halsey, Damascus Clearance 197371 Alpha.
Doctor, you are cleared for landing. Pad 4.
The ship lowers into a pad. In a hangar, lights come on. Halsey raises her arm.
This is Project Mjolnir.
A platform rises with standing armor suits on it.
Mjolnir wasn't just weapons tech. It was Halsey's endgame, her force multiplier. We were only half of the plan. The armor was the other.
The armor shell is a multi-layer alloy of remarkable strength. An onboard computer connects with your neural interface to continually track tactical information. And the inner structure is composed of a new reactive metal liquid crystal that is amorphous, yet fractally scales and amplifies force.
Ma'am, so you're saying this exoskeleton enhances both the wearer's strength and speed?
Yes, 104. By a multiple of 5.
Sign me up!
And the drawbacks, ma'am?
This system is so reactive that our previous tests with unaugmented volunteers ended in failure.
In video, A soldier moves his arm and it breaks.
The amplified movements broke their bones, tore their muscles. Their own agony-induced spasms killed them. But you are not normal humans. Your enhanced musculature and skeletons should be enough to allow you to harness the armor's power. Now, I'll need a volunteer.
I'll do it. I'll be first.
I thought you might.
John steps forward.
Of course, John volunteered. He was always the first to explore the unknown for the rest of us.
In the armor, he stands against a slanted board.
Move very slowly, deliberately. The armor cannot be powered down. The response cannot be scaled back.
He slowly moves his arm.
It's shifting.
Each suit has a gel-filled layer to regulate temperature and fit.
He lowers his arm.
John, ready for your first step?
Yes, ma'am.
We couldn't watch, but we couldn't turn away. It felt like the entire fate of humanity lay in one step.
Come on, man, you got this.
The other Spartans watch. John takes one step.
It's lighter than I expected.
Easy now.
Dr. Halsey slowly places a helmet on his head.
Well, how does it feel?
Like I was made to wear it, ma'am.
John's face is obscured behind the visor.
John was right. He was made to wear it. We all were.
In the suits, the Spartans shoot and run on treadmills. Fred leaps high in the air and lands. Others demolish cement targets. They stand before John.
Spartans, this is what we've trained our entire lives to do. If we lose here, we lose everything. Let's send our own message.
Sir, yes, sir!
Commonwealth to Dr. Halsey.
I'm here, Captain.
The Covenant ship is moving. They will be on us inside 10 minutes. I'm sorry, Doctor. It looks as if you're on your own.
Dr. Halsey, let us take a shot. We're the best possible option. Your only option. Blue Team is ready, and you know it.
John was right, and Halsey either did know it, or at least knew better than to argue.
Godspeed, John.
A dropship flies through red-tinged clouds in the cockpit.
I'm just saying, you could have volunteered Red Team instead.
You want me to pull over, let you out right here?
As Chief Mendez would say, it's a long walk home.
Look, you know I trust you and everything, but how are we supposed to take on a Covenant ship in a Pelican? Drown them in our blood?
They walk into the hold.
I was thinking, the Commonwealth's Pelicans are carrying nukes.
Nukes won't even scratch them.
No, not from outside their ship.
That's right. We can't beat them with brute force, remember? Scalpels, surgical precision.
He logs onto a computer. A door opens and extends a small warhead.
We're small enough they won't see us coming. I hope.
He takes it.
Gear up.
They pick up weapons.
Ship's on autopilot. Course can be tracked via our HUD.
You heard this plan? And we're still doing it.
I think it's a great plan. I seriously love this plan.
I'm on board. I love this plan.
I love it too.
All right, here we go.
John, if we miss...
We won't.
They propel themselves from the ship. They soar toward the large Covenant ship.
The turrets! The shields have to at least iris for them to fire.
We timed this right and we're behind their shields.
We time it wrong, we're smoke.
Sam, Kelly, with me. Fred, Linda, take the other side. We'll rendezvous somewhere in the middle.
Missiles come at them from the ship. They evade them.
On my mark.
Mark! Go, go, go!
The shield retracts and four of the Spartans descend through the hole into the ship. Kelly bounces off the surface and skims along, scrabbling at it. John leaps up and grabs her.
Everyone makes it.
Weapons ready, they walk slowly further into the ship.
I need intel.
I've got Cherenkov radiation readings from all over the ship.
Could be anything.
Agreed. But the largest reading is coming from the center. Likely the ship's reactor.
They continue along a curved corridor.
Sam, you take point. Kelly in the middle, guiding the way. I'll bring up the rear.
Sam peers around a corner and motions ahead.
The pressure doors were immense. The ceilings were 3 meters high, the air thick and oily. Different symbols, different languages. Oni had theorized the Covenant was more than just one race. This helped confirm it.
She presses a lighted symbol on a panel, and a door raises. They enter, their weapons still raised. Ahead of them, a small humped creature with a bulbous head draws a weapon. Liquid spurts from its head. It falls.
They aren't bulletproof. Good to know. Collect samples. Tissue, armor, weapons. Oni will want it.
Think we should have tried communicating?
They understood us just fine.
Come on. We don't know what else is on the way.
They walk past the clawed creature.
Clear!
John raises a fist. They stop and scan the surroundings. A mist is before them. A large hoof steps forward. A hulking beast looms. The horned being races at them with a pointed weapon. Firing, they run toward it. The shots ricochet off of it. Sam pushes John. Sam falls.
The heart stopped when Sam took the shot in the chest.
Sam's weapon scuttles away. The creature lifts Sam. John fires at it. It turns toward him. It falls.
I'm okay. Just burns like nothing else.
You'll be fine, but Biofoam won't seal this.
That was stupid, Sam.
You did the same thing for me.
That was different.
They can't afford to lose you, John.
He helps Sam up. The group runs on and comes upon a massive cylinder.
This is the source of the radiation spike. I have no idea what it is.
Doesn't matter, as long as it explodes. I'll arm the warhead. You two...
Contacts!
He places the warhead. Small creatures with round shields race at them.
Shield.
Only in the front.
Linda's shot goes above the shield and hits the toothy alien's head. It goes down. John throws a grenade. The other four go down.
I'll seal the door. John, finish arming that warhead.
Kelly runs back and shuts the door on the advancing aliens.
I remember thinking that no matter how dark the future got, we could face it as a team.
Warhead countdown set. Let's move!
Or so I thought.
Sam stops.
You guys should get moving.
You guys? You're not coming?
Kelly.
No! We don't leave anyone behind!
My suit is breached.
Sam removes his helmet.
I step into that vacuum, and I'm dead anyway.
No. No! We don't leave anyone behind!
He's not staying to die, Kelly. He's staying to fight.
Go! Our new friends aren't gonna wait for us to argue.
The countdown advances from 3 minutes to 2:59.
I know Spartans don't cry, but for once, I was glad for the helmet.
The Spartans salute Sam. Kelly touches his arm.
Sam was our first loss since augmentation.
Sam stands, drawing the fire from another large beast and the other advancing aliens. A door closes behind them as the team goes through.
We thought training, augmentation, armor made us untouchable, invulnerable, immortal. Blue team, we were wrong. We were children. This was the only thing John was ever afraid of. Losing one of us.
The four stand on the edge of the ship and leap into space.
And we knew we weren't finishing this fight. We were just getting started.
Inside, a bright light illuminates Sam's face. Outside, the Covenant ship explodes in a brilliant flash reflected in the escaping team's helmets. Cut to black. On the dark, rocky planet, Kelly carves a wolf's outline into bark.
I was 14 then. All I can think about was that day. Sam carved our mark into the world. Right here in the wilderness, before it was all burned.
For Sam.
For Sam. Sam fell first. And yet he showed us that the Covenant could be killed. Sam proved we could win this war. Every battle won is built on the foundation of that sacrifice. If we survived this, it's because Sam showed us the way. Chief?
Sam was my friend. He was my brother. He was our brother.
The four look out over the planet.
Last time we were here, I asked Sam to trust me to take us home. To follow me.
He stands before them.
Will you trust me now? Will you follow me?
Cut to black. Credits appear. Directed by Ian Kirby. Based on the novel Halo, The Fall of Reach by Eric Nyland. Adapted by Heath Corson. Set director, Andrew West. Executive producers, Daniel Sui, Ian Kirby, Kiki Wolfkill, Frank O'Connor. Produced by Tina Summerford, Corinne Robinson. Music by Tom Salta, Dr. Halsey, Jen Taylor. Master Chief, Steve Downs. Kelly Adult, Deja, John's mother, Michelle Lukes. Linda Adult, Brittany Uomoliali. Fred Adult, Camo Leader, Travis Willingham. Torben, Stocky Camo Man, Watts Soldier, Lieutenant Ops Station, John Bentley. Lieutenant Keyes, Fred Teen, Weapons Officer. Todd Habercorn, John Child, Thick Lad, Cole Jensen. Schoolyard Girl, Kelly Teen, Francesca Manzi. Skinny Girl, Linda Child, Ashlyn Bullock. Mendez, Richard Casino. Officer, Sam Teen, Anthony Del Rio. Jorge, Sam Child, Dane Jameson, Fred Child, Colin Dean, Kelly Child, John's mother, Hinden Walsh, Admiral Yisianris, Jerome, Fred Adult, Travis Willingham, John Teen, Damian Haas, Covenant Prophet, Captain Wallace, Matt Watterson, Colonel Watts, Vice Admiral Stanforth, Longsword Pilot, Ethan Sawyer, Linda Teen, Isabella Vidovic. Credits continue. Three, 343 Industries. Sequence. Deluxe.